But let's open up our Bibles today as we start our sermon. Open up your Bibles. And if you were there yesterday, you want to thank your teachers for making the food, for preparing, especially Josh Kang and Johanna Song San Yim. They organized a lot of that, so you want to thank them as well. All right, we're opening up our Bibles to Ephesians 1. And I explained last week, this is our passage for the next 13 weeks. We're going to a few other passages, but Ephesians 1 is our passage. If you got Ephesians 1 verse 1, stick a finger there. We're going to flick back to 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17. 2 Corinthians 5, 17. And then later on, we're going to read from Acts as well. So if you got it, I want you to be quiet. All right. All right. I'm reading the passage, I guess. I want to read Ephesians 1, verse 1. Let's read it together, actually. Everyone with a loud, clear voice, verse 1. Let's go. Ready? Begin. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to God's holy people in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus. All right, we're going to read 2 Corinthians 5, 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old is gone, the new is here. Okay, I'm going to pray for us as we begin, and then we're going to go into a sermon. I want to just ask you, just for the next 20 minutes, just to be quiet. You know, you guys think I don't see, but I see you when you talk. You guys try to put your head down. I see every single thing from up here. So let's be good today, okay? Let's close our eyes. I'll pray for us, and we'll begin. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are a God who loves us. You're a God who is good to us. If everything else in our world were to go bad, we have reason alone to praise you, simply because you are good, simply because you are God. And today we thank you for everything that you've done in our lives. We give you this offering because you're good to us, and we're returning simply what is yours. We ask that you would use it for your name around the world to people who need it. And God, as we look at your word today, especially Ephesians, as we look at our identity, I pray that for every single student here at PG1, that you would speak to us, that you would help us to know who we are in Jesus and who you say we are, and that we would believe it and live in that truth. Father, we give ourselves to you today. We empty ourselves, make ourselves available to you, that you would have your way in our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let me begin with a story. When I was in preschool, I had this conversation with my parents that like totally shook my world. It devastated me, and I began to cry. And this, I was young then. It wasn't that big of a deal, but I thought it was like the biggest thing in the world. And I'm preschool, so I'm young. And this is what my parents told me. This is what my mom said. She came to me, and she said, "We are going to change your name." Right, so that felt like a really big deal back then. So my name back then was Seijin. Right? That's my Korean name. And so I had no other name. I knew myself as Seijin. My friends knew me as Seijin. My teachers knew me as Seijin. My mom came up to me and she said, "Hey, we're going to change your name to Paul." And I was like, "No, Paul, that's such a bad name. Seijin is so much cooler. Seijin is such a better name." And I started to cry, and I was like, "How dare you call me Paul? My name is Seijin." And I had like this whole thing, and it was a big deal for me. Now, looking back, you know, I'm glad that they changed my name. Not that I don't like Seijin, but you know, Paul's a pretty cool name. But back then, it just seemed like a really big deal, because Seijin, my name, was a big part of who I was. Right? It was me. I felt like they were taking away me from me. I felt like they were taking away a big part of what made me me, and they were changing who I was. And when you think about your name, it is a very important part of who you are. Right? I want you to think about your name. Do you like your name? Do you love your name? Right? Maybe some of us love our names. Maybe some of us hate our names. But you would all agree that your name is a very important part of who you are, and you have a big, you know, emotion towards your name. I talked about it, you know, before, but your name is so important to you that you can hear it out of like noise. So if everyone here was talking, we're not, but let's pretend we are, and everyone's like, everyone's talking and the volume is this loud, but someone in the conversation from over there said your name at the same volume, your ears and your brain can pick it up. Right? So I could be like, Jennifer. And you would be like, did someone say my name? And you can hear it. Why? Because your brain knows how important your name is. Right? Your name is so important to you. When you go on Facebook, it's the thing at the top that identifies you. Right? When you post, it says your name. Right, when you say, hey, I hung out with a couple of my friends, and your friends say, who did you hang out with? You say, oh, I hung out with James, Kim. And they're like, I know exactly who you're talking about. There's 10 that I know, James, Kim's. But one of them, and they're like, this, right? With your name, they have an image of who you are. Right? Your name is so important to you. Biblically, it's very important. If you look in the Bible, right, they call people a certain name, and then they turn out to be like that. So Jacob, they call him Jacob, and he turns out to be like, you know, a deceiver. Or you call them this, and they turn out to be like that. So biblically, names are really important. But what I want to ask you today is this. If your name is really important, what names do you carry? What names do you carry? Now, I'm not asking what is your name, but what associates with your name? What kind of nicknames do you carry? Right? If your name's Andrew, do your friends think Andrew and they think, oh, angry Andrew. He's the one that's always angry. Like, I don't know. I'm scared to talk to him because he's always angry. Right? My Korean name, Seijin, in high school, my friends gave me a nickname. They called me Raijin Seijin. Right? Because I used to be angry. But that stuck on with me so much that if I do the smallest thing, they'd be like, oh, Raijin Seijin, and they're like, and they keep telling me. And I felt like it wasn't just the name. I felt like it was a part of who I was. I felt like it was my identity. I felt like it was something I carried around. And maybe some of you guys are like angry Andrew or angry James or whatever, but you feel like when people look at you or say your name, they think you're angry. Or what about anything? Sad Solomon. I don't know. Do people think of you and think, oh, he's the guy who's always sad. He's always depressed. He's always, you know, emo. He's always listening to sad stuff, looking out the window on the train. He's got a tear rolling down his eyes. You know what? Is that what they associate with your name? What kind of nicknames do you guys carry? What kind of associations do you have with your name? Are you the lonely one? Are you the prideful one? Are you the jealous one? Are you the hateful one? Are you the swearing one? What kind of things associate with your name? Let me tell you a truth. If you are in Christ, you are new. That's what the Bible says. If you are in Christ, you are a new person. You are not who you used to be. You might have been known as Angry Andrew or Sad Solomon, but if you are in Christ, the Bible says you are a new person. I want you to say that with me. I am new. If you are in Christ. And that's what I told you last week. Everything we're talking about for the next 6 weeks hinges on this. If I am in Christ, if you are new. And as I talk today, if you don't know who Jesus is and you want to be new, you need to get to know Jesus. Right, that's the starting point. If you are in Christ, you are new. You are not who you used to be. Let's read Ephesians 1, verse 1. It says this, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God. I want to ask you a very simple question. Who wrote this letter? I want to read the verse one more time. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus. By the will of God. Who wrote this letter? Not me. Paul. Oh. Paul, Paul's writing a letter and he goes, Paul. Right, he's identifying himself, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus. I'm the guy who wrote it. He's saying Paul wrote it. But let me tell you something about Paul. It's not that Paul wrote it. It's a guy named Saul. Have you guys heard of a guy named Saul? Paul is Saul? Let me tell you. Listen to this. If you don't know Saul, Saul is the same guy as Paul. But a while back, before he wrote this letter, he was known as Saul. That was his original name. But Saul was known as a guy who killed Christians. Saul was a guy who went out of his way to hate the church. So if I've got like a spectrum and you've got people who love Jesus here and you've got people who, I don't really care about Jesus, I don't really love him or hate him here, Saul was over here. He hated Christians. Well, let me read you a few verses about Saul. Acts 7, verse 55 to 58. If you've been doing your QT, we read this last month. If you haven't been doing it, do it. It says, Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, looked up to heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Look, Stephen said, I see heaven open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. At this, the crowd covered their ears, yelling at the top of their voices. They all rushed at him, dragged him out of the city, and they stoned him, right? They killed him. Meanwhile, the witnesses laid their coats at the feet of a young man named Saul. So there's a Christian named Stephen. People kill him with rocks, and they lay down their coats at a guy named Saul. And what they're saying is, you're our leader. We're following you. And Saul is watching them kill this guy. And it says in chapter 8, verse 1, Saul approved of their killing. So he's like, yeah, it's good. He killed a Christian. Verse 3, Saul began to destroy the church. Going from house to house, he dragged off both men and women and put them in prison. So if I'm a Christian and I hear the name Saul, I get scared. Because this guy might come in, kill me, or put me in prison. Chapter 9, verse 1 to 2, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues so that he, if he found any there who belonged to the way, Christians, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. Right, basically, Paul's a guy who just hates Christians. It says he's breathing out threats. It's like when he's breathing, he's like, I hate Christians, oh, I'm going to kill them. That's what he's like. He really hates Christians. But look what happens in chapter 9, verse 3 to 6. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Who are you, Lord? Saul asked. I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting, he replied. Now get up, go into the city, and you'll be told what you must do. Saul is traveling, a light shines, he gets blind, he goes, oh, who are you? And a voice comes out from heaven, I'm Jesus. Saul encounters Jesus. He goes from a person who doesn't know Jesus to being in Jesus. From a not follower of Jesus to a follower of Jesus. And what happens is that everything in his life changes. He goes from one end of the spectrum to the other. And that's what can happen if you are in Christ. It's like he becomes a totally new person. This guy who killed Christians now wants to make Christians. This is the power of what happens when you encounter Jesus. It's as if he's a different person, and he is. Because this is what happens when you become in Christ. He looks the same, his face is the same, but he's not the same. And to signify this change, his name goes from Saul to Paul. It's like you meet him and you're like, hey, are you Saul? And he goes, no, that's not me. I'm not Saul. I'm not Saul, the killer of Christians. I'm Paul. That's what he says. I'm Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus. What can be more important than changing your name to signify how new you are? It's like you went to school and they think they know you, but you're like, no, I'm not that person anymore. You can call me something else. I'm Jenny, if you're a girl, not me. You know, it's like I go to you and I'm like, hey, you guys thought I was poor, but I became a Christian. I'm now, you know, Philip. And you'll be like, what? That's weird. But I'm saying I am a new person. The old Paul that you knew is no longer alive. And this is what happens when you become a Christian. When you become in Christ, it's as if you get a new name. People should be able to go to you and say, hey, I think I used to know you. You look the same, but you're different. Where did the old James, Jenny, you know, Peter, Phil, where did that old person go? Because that old person used to be angry, used to swear, used to do this sin and that sin. But you are a totally new person. That's the change that can happen when you encounter Jesus. It's a dramatic change. If I am in Christ, I am new. I am not who I used to be. Who did you used to be? What kind of nicknames did you carry? When people heard your name, what negative sins and things did they associate with you? If you are in Christ, through the power of Christ, they're gone and He is changing you to be something else. Do you believe that truth? The Bible is full of people like this. Abram and Sarai become Abraham and Sarah, and they actually have babies. Jacob, the deceiver, his name is changed to Israel. Simon, son of Jonah, he denies Jesus 3 times. You know that guy? He's like, oh, I don't know Jesus, I don't know Jesus, I don't know Jesus 3 times. He becomes Peter, which means rock, and he's crucified upside down. He gets changed into a totally new person. This is what happens when you become a Christian. What names do you carry? Who do people say you are? What nicknames do you have? What things do you feel like you are carrying around with you all the time that you can't get rid of? In Christ, they are gone. Think about that. What an amazing blessing to be a Christian. That I used to be angry, but I'm no longer angry. I used to be really emo, no longer emo. I used to be really angry, no longer angry. I used to swear all the time. I don't swear anymore. Right? This is what Jesus can do in your life because He gets rid of your sin. He works in your life to make you new. So let me ask you, what past actions did you have? Smoking, swearing, sins that you... What past characteristics do you have? Angry, sad, quiet, rude, lonely, jealous. What past mistakes do you carry? What addictions did you have? All of these are gone in Jesus Christ. If I am in Christ, I am new. I am not who I used to be. This is what the Bible says, 2 Corinthians 5:17. If anyone is in Christ, that's what our first sermon was. If anyone is in Christ, if you are in Christ, the promise is this. If you're in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new has come. Right? If you are in Christ, the old has gone, the new has come. It's like you're a butterfly. You know, butterflies, they're like first caterpillars, and they're like really ugly, and you're like, oh, disgusting. And then you turn into a butterfly. Right? You're a new, you're the same person, but it's like you turn into something new. Right? The old is gone, new has come. This is a promise if you are a Christian. Now, I'm not telling you guys to go out and change your names and be like, hey, I changed my name. My name's not Sue. It's, you know, Jamaican something. I don't know. Just don't change your name. That's what I'm saying. I'm saying the symbolism behind the name. In Christ, you are new. Jesus Christ is working in your life to make you no longer who you used to be. You may not yet be there. You might still sin. You might sometimes still be angry. But if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit lives in you. God is working with you to make you more like Jesus every day. So that when I look back to yesterday, I say, I'm not who I used to be. I'm not yet who I will be, but I'm on a journey. And God is transforming me to become more like Jesus every day. To be more perfect, to be more nicer, to be more loving, to be more kind, not jealous, not angry, not swearing, not sinning. every day. And sometimes I fall, sometimes I stumble, but if you are in Christ, this is what God is doing. And one day when we die or Jesus returns, we will be perfect like Jesus and never sin. That is a promise of what God gives us in Christ. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? I believe there's some people here who feel like when you think about yourself, you attach with it so much junk, so much stuff. Maybe your friends have a nickname for you like Raging Sajin, and you feel like that's because that's what they call me. That must be who I am. Then I must act like that. If you are in Christ, that's not true. That's not who you are. God says you are new. God says you are set free. And so I want us to pray and close our eyes at this time. If I am in Christ, I am new. I am not who I used to be. Speak to any one of your teachers, and they will be able to tell you.